today is the Absalom incident. 2 Samuel 18 verse 5 says, "For my sake, deal gently with young Absalom." It's a plea from a father regarding his son. Our story on David's exploits today deals with a troubling and sad time that lasted a matter of years. It involved rape, murder, banishment, rebellion, a coup, a battle, death of sons, weeping, and the eventual re-establishment of King David on the throne at Jerusalem. Dads, if you've found being a father to your sons or daughters challenging at any time and a little bit tough, then this message is for you. Sons and daughters, and yes, you all must be one of those, no matter what the political agenda of our current New Zealand government has, this message will give you some insights into current parenthood. And if you are one of our Riverstones kids watching this, at the end of my message, we've got a special time for you and your dads to gather around, and I've got a second short message for you. So maybe don't go away all the while the message is on. Be ready for it, kids, in a half hour's time. This is exploit number 8. And 8 stands biblically for resurrection. Anastasis in the Greek, new beginning. And this is what happened to David at the end of our message. The full transcript of the Absalom incident can be read in 2 Samuel chapters 13 through to 19. If you want a message with some intrigue, this has definitely got it. Now, David's son Absalom had a beautiful sister named Tamar, and Amnon, her half-brother, fell desperately in love with her. This is David's daughter. Possibly her mother was Makar. She's listed in 1 Chronicles as being the sister of all of David's sons. David is in Jerusalem. He is now with Bathsheba, his wife. 2 Samuel 13:2, Amnon became so obsessed with Tamar that he became ill. She was a virgin, and Amnon thought that he could never have her. But a crafty cousin entered the scene, and Amnon got a plan from him. Pretend that you are sick, then ask your father, King David, to send your sister Tamar into you to cook a meal. So Tamar came and prepared the meal. But as Amnon sent all the servants out, he grabbed her and demanded, "Come to bed with me, my darling sister." "No, no, no," she cried. But he was stronger and he raped her. Amnon's love suddenly turned to hate. No longer was he a loving person, but he snarled at her, "Get out!" Which in their culture was even worse than what he had already done. Not only had he had a consummation with her, he was now casting her out to be unavailable to any other man. He shouted for his servant and demanded, "Throw this woman out and lock the door behind her." What a transformation from love and lust to hate. Tamar was shut out. She tore her long, beautiful robe. She put ashes on her head and went away crying. Absalom, who was her brother, saw her and told her, "Hold your peace, my sister. Keep it quiet. He is your brother. Don't worry about it." And Tamar went to live with her brother Absalom as a desolate woman. Is anger sufficient, or should there be action? When King David heard the story about Amnon and how he had raped his sister Tamar, King David was very, very angry. Luckily, in our Bibles, we have some footnotes. In the Greek version of the Bible, and in the Dead Sea Scrolls, there is a comment made that David did not punish his son Amnon because he loved him. But Amnon was his firstborn child. David the father appears to brush over the incident. There is no account of David being a dad to his daughter Tamar, of going in and giving her a hug and consoling her. There's no words on that at all. Or there's no account of David taking any action against Amnon. Dads, have you ever favored one child over another? Have you ever ignored what one of your children has done? When we see and hear about actions that are wrong, do we as a church just brush them off and hope that it all goes away? We didn't do so last year when we spoke about abortion. The government made a ruling, but we took some action because it wasn't right. We need to put on the armor of God, and having done all, we need to stand for God's righteousness in whatever happens. Our country is in a challenge with the lockdown. And now there's been a knife attack in Countdown. And this has made some people angry. But we should see some action, that instead of watching on the news that our law is incorrect, that our law gets changed to give some safety to the people. Let's just stop for a moment. And Lord God, we lift up all the families and the workers, and the people involved with the knife attack at the Countdown at New Lynn. And Lord God, we just ask for your hand to flow on this situation now, in Jesus' name. And everyone out there said, Amen. This story continues the story we're into. And Absalom did not speak to his brother Amnon for 2 years. 2 years he didn't say a word good to him or a word bad to him. But he hated him for what he had done to Tamar. Then Absalom, who had a whole lot of sheep, and it was sheep shearing time at Baal Hazor, arranged for a big feast to be happening. He asked the king to come, and the king said no. But he got permission for all of his brothers, the king's sons, to come along to the feast. Amnon was there, and Absalom and his friends got him drunk. And then literally they took him out on the night at the sheep shed and murdered him. Absalom had not spoken to Amnon about raping their sister. He hadn't done any negotiations, he just took the law into his own hands and arranged for Amnon's murder. And then he escaped. The king and all his servants, when they heard the news that Amnon had died, wept bitterly. And the Bible tells us that Amnon was mourned for many days by his father. This is a good point, that David is bothering to weep and to cry. Whether he missed the opportunity earlier, he is at least showing his emotions. Pastor Gina and I would know, as we will talk around people in the church, that sometimes we see children that have never seen their dad upset, never seen their dad cry, never seen their dad release emotions, because we've got to have the look. No, dads, show your emotions. Take time to show that this is upsetting you. Then you become real. Absalom had fled to his maternal grandfather's place in a town called Geshur. He was there for 3 years. But then after an intriguing play, and that's the best way to put it, they involved another lady coming in and she dressed up and pretended to see the king and tell him something. Absalom was able to be reunited. The play was managed by Joab, the army commander. And he's a cautious one to watch as we read through the rest of these stories. But Absalom was returned to Jerusalem. But there was a catch in his return. 2 Samuel 14:24 says, "But the king gave this order, Absalom may go to his own house, but he must never come into my presence." So Absalom did not see the king. The Bible in 2 Samuel 13 tells us that David longed to be reunited with his son Absalom. He was no longer chasing after him. But however, Absalom never got to see the king until 2 more years had passed. 5 years since the incident with Tamar. But now Absalom was praised as the most handsome man in all of Israel. He was flawless from head to foot. We heard that Tamar was beautiful. Her brother is flawless from head to foot. He must have had a large amount of hair because it says he cut his hair only once a year. And then only because it was so heavy. When he weighed it, it came out at 2.5 kilos. That's a small bag of potatoes. That kind of weight on his head. Remember that, because it comes up later in the story. But eventually, Absalom, through some underhanded deals and setting fire to Joab's fields, acquired Joab's assistance to arrange for a meeting with the king. It was all set up. And 2 Samuel 14:33 tells us that Joab told the king what Absalom said. Then at last David summoned Absalom, who came and bowed low before the king, and the king kissed him. That should be the end of our story. But I have a question. What was in David's heart? Forgiveness? Or was there still some bitterness? Dads, are you real and transparent with your actions and emotions? Do you kiss your children, but you're holding something back inside? We need to be transparent and real so our kids know and can trust you. But the story continues, and a lot of you would have heard about Absalom and how he came against the king. Absalom hired bodyguards, and early in the morning, every morning, he would go to the city gates. He would meet people there at the gate, and as they were coming in, he'd ask where they were from. Oh, I can help you here, and I can help you there, and oh, I wish I was the judge, so I could give you an absolute justice verdict on your problem. He would kiss them. He would smooch over them. And he would tell them all sorts of flatteries and lies. 2 Samuel 15:6 tells us Absalom did this with everyone who came to the king for judgment. And so he stole the hearts of all the people of Israel. Be cautious if someone comes into your place of work or your business or whatever and seems to be saying that, oh, I would do this better, but I really feel for you. The process took time. 4 years Absalom was doing this. And then he eventually asked the king if he could go to Hebron to make some sacrifices. The king said, okay, go along. But while he was there, verse 12 of chapter 15, Absalom was, while he was offering the sacrifices, he sent for a man called Ahithophel, one of David's counselors who lived in Gilo. And soon many others also joined Absalom, and the conspiracy, which was now evident, gained momentum. What can we learn from that, dads and mums? Don't be blind. David, as a dad, appears oblivious to his son's usurping natures. A little bit here and a little bit there, and suddenly there's a transformation and a change, one step upon one step. We also need to take a whole note of that as Christians. We must not be blind. We must look at the signs of the times of the world we're living in now. What subliminal ideas are being projected to our society? I can remember 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I spoke to my wife about why they're showing a vaccination on the news every night. Now, this vaccination is part of life, and it's a debate that can split a whole lot of families. One says for and one says against. Take note of what subliminal messages are coming out. Check how they align with the word of the Lord and take a stand. Soon the news that Absalom and all the army of Israel was approaching Jerusalem. It was time to leave. There's a photograph there of what happened recently. The forces of America, England, New Zealand, Australia, and others had to leave Afghanistan. They knew it was time to leave because there was an uprising in the city. And Lord, we pray for all those who've been left behind. Lord God, that we can still send something back to offer help to those who desperately want to get out of their situation. David knew what was happening. 2 Samuel 15:14, he said, "Then we must flee at once or it will be too late." David urged his men, "Hurry. If we get out of the city before Absalom arrives, both we and the city of Jerusalem will be spared from disaster." David now knew what was up. He did not want the city of David, the city that he had taken captive, the city that God had given him, to be ravaged by war. But I would have a question: did he always know what was in Absalom's heart, or did something just drop into him at this time? And if we're wondering about Absalom's heart, the next part of this story shows exactly where this man is or was. He asked the king's advisor on what to do next. One of David's ex-advisors, the one who joined over to Absalom. 2 Samuel 16:21, you can read it if you wish. Ahithophel told him, "Go and sleep with your father's concubines, for he has left them here to look after the place, to look after the palace. And then all Israel will know that you have insulted your father beyond hope of reconciliation. And they will throw their support to you." So they set up a tent on the palace roof where everyone could see it. And Absalom went in and spent time with the father's concubines. Do you want to know a man's heart? Do you want to know what is flowing around someone? Then look at their actions as you go through life. Actions speak louder than words. So David made a decision. He made a decision that he had to fight. He had an army of supporters, still led by Joab, but two others had joined him, including a man from Gath, the town where David had been slaughtering the soldiers on the brothers of Goliath. And these two advised him that he should stay in town. "You are worth more than 10,000 of us because Absalom wants to get you. He is not really worried about us. He wants to annihilate you." So David said, "Yes, all right. You can go out to battle. You can go out and have a fight." This is in 2 Samuel 18. But he urged them. "If you think that's the best plan, I'll do it," the king answered. So he stood alongside the gate. as all the troops marched out in groups of hundreds and groups of thousands. And the king gave this command to Joab, Abishai, and Ittai from Gath. For my sake, deal gently with young Absalom. And all the troops heard the king give this order to his commanders. So they've gone out to battle against Absalom, but David is holding something in there. The battle was in the forests of Ephraim, and over 20,000 men lost their lives, but mostly they were killed by the woods and not by the sword. I presume it was boggy, and I presume there were tree roots everywhere. And this was Absalom's undoing. His mule that he was riding went under the bough of a great big terebinth tree, like an oak tree. And his head, or his hair, depending on the translation you knew, remember he had this big bunch of hair, got caught in the tree. The mule kept on going and galloped out from underneath him. And here's Absalom hanging by his head or his hair in midair, unable to do anything. And it was there that Joab and his armor bearers found him. And Joab grabbed three spears and punched them through the heart of Absalom. The other commanders said, "No, we won't have a part of that, because the king said, do not kill my son. Take it easy. Be peaceful to him." But Joab's 10 armor bearers killed him and threw him into a pit and hurled stones on top of him. Not the appropriate burial for the son of a king, but possibly the appropriate burial for a man with those actions. We change the story now to grief. A runner told King David the news. Two people went running, but one came in, and the king said he was overcome with emotion, and he went to the room over the gateway and burst into tears. And as he went, he cried out, "Oh, my son, Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." The king was distraught over his son's death, but he was seemingly ignorant of his son's behavior. Dads, we must keep a balance. We must remember that Christ died for all mankind, but not all mankind will accept what Christ had done. We must be upset and distraught. But at this stage, it appears that David is taking the victory to be with the enemy at the cost of those who fought it. We have a time when we need to stand up. And Joab, for all his faults, saw David, and in 2 Samuel 19, went into the king's room and said to him, "We saved your life today, and the lives of your sons and your daughters and your wives and your concubines. Yet you act like this, making us feel ashamed of ourselves. You seem to love," verse 6, "those who hate you and hate those who love you. You've made it clear today that your commanders and troops mean nothing to you. It seems that if Absalom had have lived and all of us had have died, you would have been pleased. Now, go out there and congratulate your troops. For I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a single one of them will remain here tonight, and you will be worse off than ever before." So the king went out and took his seat at the town gate. And as the news spread throughout the town that he was there, everyone went to him. Meanwhile, the Israelites who had supported Absalom fled to their homes. It says in this story that the soldiers, as they came back, crept back into town because the rumor had come out the king was upset. And David might have been shaken and distressed by the news that his son Absalom was dead. But he needed to, out of the New Testament, shake the dust off his feet and be thankful for those who had fought for his and for Israel's freedom. David is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. God's already written the script, but David had to step up, stand up, and take his place. This is the exploit point that I want you to remember. That no matter what is around, he stood up for what he had to do. His first son, Amnon, succumbed to lust and raped David's daughter. His second son, Absalom, took justice into his own hands, murdered and rebelled against his father. His actions were against God and his father. And David's role model as a father left some areas to be desired. Possibly Absalom's rising up for conspiracy is due to the fact that David did not take the matter with Amnon into his hands and bring some justice. So there's five things that dads and we can all learn from this. Dads, stand up for your family and love your daughters as much as your sons. Thankfully, we now live in a culture and a generation where women are given equal rights. And we need to make certain at home we still portray that. Dads, be bold enough to speak out about consequences of ungodly actions. Just disapproving what your son or daughter has done and not saying anything is not being a father. It is not being a parent. You need to put some consequences in place and explain them to the child. Dads, do not have favorites amongst your children. Oh, this one's better than that one. Some of you out there, mums and dads, probably know directly what I'm talking about. They always favored my brother, my sister over me. That's not a good thing to be. Not good at all. And dads and mums, be aware of your children and their actions. Remember, Absalom is living in the town. For 2 years he's living there and not much is happening. And then for 4 more years, every morning he's at the gate, starting to usurp his father's authority. Take note of your children and their actions and see what's happening behind you. And dads, mourn every loss of your children, but not at the expense of those who are living with you. These are challenging points, but I believe I'd like to see today on Father's Day we learn some aspects from David as to what we need to put into place in our families. So where is Jesus in all of this? Pastor Graham, you haven't mentioned him much. King David could well have been chased from his city and from the nation of Israel. King David may not have been come back, and we never would have had Solomon built the temple, and we never would have had the line coming down to Jesus Christ. But David was given a new opportunity to reign for many more years. And he was like resurrected back to life, which is why this is exploit number 8. Because exploit number 8 speaks about being given a new beginning. And no matter wherever you are out there, dads, if some of these things that Saul David has done has rung true with you, you can be forgiven right now. Jesus wants to come into your heart, and he wants to come and flood you with his love and show you that even if your parents were not great to you, you have a Father God who loves you so much. David was given a new beginning, like we all are, with Jesus Christ.